Desert Dust Kills Florida Fish, presented by Science at NASA. New research links huge African dust clouds with the red tides that kill millions of fish along the Florida coast each year. August 30, 2001. It sounds like a story from the Old Testament. Without warning, the sea turns a shade of reddish-brown, killing scores of fish and other marine life, and making the water an unwelcome place for humans. Such red tides have, from time to time, plagued coastal communities for centuries. Now a new study, partially funded by NASA, has revealed a surprising connection between red tides in the Gulf of Mexico and giant dust clouds that blow across the Atlantic Ocean from the distant Sahara Desert. NOAA and NASA satellites can spot such dust clouds en route from Africa to the Americas, raising hopes that space-based data could help scientists predict when red tides will strike the Gulf Coast. The West Florida Shelf is a hotspot for fishing, aquaculture, and tourism, all of which can be drastically affected by a surprise visit from a red tide, said Jason Leans, a graduate student at the University of South Florida's College of Marine Science and the lead author in the study. Red tides, which are actually blooms of toxic algae, have in the past killed huge numbers of fish, shellfish, marine mammals, and birds. They can also trigger skin and respiratory problems in humans. Storm activity in the Sahara Desert kicks up fine particles from the arid topsoil there, generating vast clouds of dust. Easterly trade winds carry that dust across the Atlantic Ocean and into the Gulf of Mexico. The new study shows that these clouds fertilize the water off the West Florida coast with iron. Plant-like bacteria use that iron to set the stage for red tides. When iron levels go up, these bacteria, called trichodesmium, fix nitrogen in the water, converting it to a form usable by other marine life. The addition of biologically usable nitrogen in the water makes the Gulf of Mexico a friendlier environment for toxic algae. This is one of the first studies that quantitatively measured iron from the dust and linked it to red tides through trichodesmium, said Leans. The research was partially funded by a NASA grant as part of EcoHab Florida, Ecology and Oceanography of Harmful Algal Blooms, a multidisciplinary research project designed to study harmful algae. The study used satellite and ground-based measurements to track large dust clouds leaving Africa on June 17, 1999. Leans and his colleagues followed the clouds using data from the Advanced Very High Resolution Radiometer, an imager aboard NOAA's Polar Orbiting Environmental Satellites. The Saharan dust cloud reached the West Florida shelf around July 1st, increasing iron concentrations in the surface waters by 300%. As a result, trichodesmium counts shot up to 10 times what they had been prior to this event. Through a complex process involving a special enzyme, the trichodesmium used the iron to convert nitrogen in the water to a form more usable for other marine life. In October, after a 300% increase of this biologically accessible nitrogen, a huge bloom of toxic red algae had formed within the study area, an 8,100 square mile region between Tampa Bay and Fort Myers, Florida. Scientists have labored for several years to develop a reliable method to predict red tides, particularly because the results of these blooms can be both physically and economically devastating to a region. Humans who swim in the Gulf during a red tide can experience respiratory problems by breathing toxins from K. brevis that get into the air. Also, eating shellfish poisoned by red tides can lead to paralysis and even memory problems. Around the Gulf of Mexico, scientists and others have recorded fish kills totaling in the millions and manatee deaths in the hundreds resulting from a single red tide bloom. By using satellites to monitor dust arrivals and trichodesmium blooms, Lynn says this research could lead to forecasting of red tides. If you could predict when a red tide is coming, you could close beaches and fisheries ahead of time, Lynn explained. This story was read by Tony Phillips and presented by Science at NASA and the NASA Marshall Space Flight Center. To find more Science at NASA stories on the Internet, please visit science.nasa.gov.